Lamed Chesed Aleph, the Mishnah. Misha Baba Derech, a guy is coming on the way. He doesn't have a lulav to take. We don't know a lot of background about the case. What is the guy doing? Did he go to work? Is he coming back from a trip? There's not a lot of background in the case. That may or may not be of significance. So a guy's coming from the way, he doesn't have a lulav, l'shiganas l'beis, right? When he gets into his house, yitol shulchanai, he should take it on his table. That's a very strange Mishnah, no? What's the point of this halacha? What's the halacha? The Mishnah's trying to tell us what? If he didn't have a lulav, he should shake it on his table. What in the world? No, you don't think this is an unusual way for a Mishnah to present itself? What's it trying to say? It's trying to say that if a person wasn't notel lulav the whole day, he shouldn't eat, he should be notel his lulav. Why don't you just say that? It's a very strange way that the Mishnah presents itself. Rashi writes, Yitol shulchana, you should take the lulav on his table, im shachach, v'le notel koidem achila. He forgot, and he didn't take his lulav before he ate. Tzorech lehav six udase, v'litol lulav, he has to stop his meal, and shake the lulav. Yeah, that's what it means at the table, you know. So the table is being referenced here because it means to say you got to stop what you're doing at the table and shake your lulav. So, in other words, the Mishnah's principle seems to be that if you have a mitzvah to be doing and the mitzvah chiyuv is already chal, and then you start your meal by accident because you were supposed to do the mitzvah first, you have to stop your meal to do the mitzvah. You know where this comes up every single year? It's between Pesach and Shavuos. You daven in shul too early to count what? And by the way, say Shema. Which happens all the time, right? The whole summer. You come home, and now you start your meal, right? Well, were you allowed to start your meal? Were you supposed to do the mitzvah first? So you start your meal. That's the one, question A. Question A is, are you allowed to start your meal at that time? Question B, now that you did start your meal, do you have to stop when the zman arrives? Right? Yeah. There's a fellow in my shul that likes to give out cards. Says something like, you know, in between soup and fish, you gotta count sfira or something like that. So everyone's supposed to put it on the table, you know, like after the soup, you're supposed to count sfira. But in any case, the Mishnah seems to be teaching us a principle that if there's a mitzvah to be done, and the chiyuv is chal, and you start your meal, perhaps inappropriately, you have to stop and perform the mitzvah. The way the Mishnah says it is interesting. Misha, baba derech. Who cares, baba derech? He was away. He was out of his house. He didn't have his lulav. His lulav is at home. He's not going to take his lulav to work. I don't know. Whatever. He left too early. I don't know. Why wasn't he notel this morning? I don't know. But he wasn't notel the lulav. So, litul shikanes leveso. Sorry. Lishi shikanes leveso yitol al shulchan. Loi notel shacharis. If he didn't do it in the morning, yitol bein arbaim. He should do it in the afternoon. Is this a new case or the same case? But the point here is shekalayim kasher lulav, because the whole day is kasher for the mitzvah of lulav. That's really the point. Okay, Gemara. Amri noid l'shulchanai. You said you stated in the Mishnah that you take the lulav on your table. L'meimra, that is to say, the mafsik, that you have to stop your meal. Right, that's obviously where Rashi got it from. That's the principle of the Mishnah. Or minhi. Or minhi is what kind of question? Rami. A contradiction, right? Rami always means we're going to pit this against another Tanaic source. Urmini, imischilu ein mafsikin. If you already started, you don't stop. Well, what is that talking about? What's the context of this? It's talking about the same thing? Lulav?
Maybe it's talking about, didn't it say there's all shulchanos, maybe if you started this meal, you should.
But I'm saying the quote here is coming from where? It's talking about lulav also? It's a steer, it's a contradiction, right? Ur minhi. Im hischilu, if you already started, which means the meal, im afsikin, you don't stop. That's a contradiction, because we said you have to stop your meal to shake your lulav. Is this talking about lulav or something else? So take a look at Rashi. First Rashi in the Gemara, Mischil and Mafsikin. Gabit Tfilas HaMincha Tanan Lav Mesechah Shabbos. Regarding Mincha, we learn this. This is a Mishnah in Mesechah Shabbos. L'yeshev Adam Lefnei HaSapar V'lo Yikanes L'alecha V'lo Ladun. A person not supposed to sit down to get a haircut. You're not supposed to sit down and do a bunch of things before you daven mincha. But if you did these things, you started up something that involves, it's an involved process. It's not like a quick one, two, three. It's a process. So let's say you sat down to a meal, let's say. And the meal drew on. Oh, so you started before there was a chiyuv mincha. And the meal goes on into the Zman of Chiyuv Mincha. This could happen every single day. You sit down to eat lunch, it's too early for Mincha. But in the middle of lunch, it's now the Zman Mincha. So what, everybody has to stop their meal and daven Mincha? No. Ein mafsikin. You don't stop the meal. You don't have to stop the meal and daven Mincha. Okay. Literally to take. Because the technical mitzvah is just to pick them all up. Okay, so what's the contradiction? Our Mishnah seems to say that if you weren't notel lulav, you have to be notel and stop in the middle of your meal to do it. But when it comes to mincha, it's not true. If you started your meal, you don't have to stop. Now, one may want to say, well, maybe it depends on when the chiyuv began. It sounds like the case of mincha is you started your meal before there was a chiyuv to daven mincha. So if you started before and then the chiyuv comes, so maybe since you started your meal legitimately, then you don't have to stop it. But if you started the meal illegitimately, what if you started your meal in the middle after there was a chiyuv to daven mincha? Is that different? That's one thought process. The other thought process is what? Why would you not have to stop?
For mincha or for lulav?
Well, for mincha you don't. For lulav you do. Why?
Because all day you have the mitzvah for lulav.
Have you got time for mincha? So Gemara says, Amar of Safra, Likasha, not a contradiction, it's not a question. It depends. Here you have time in the day, and here there is not time in the day. What does that mean? That when there's time to daven mincha still afterwards, this is basically what you're getting at, right? You just need that one little detail. When there's more time in the day to daven mincha, so you don't have to stop, you'll assume you finish your meal, you'll daven later. But what the case, this is an assumption, this is what they call an ukimta. Amir, what's an ukimta? Wrong. 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 An ukimta means in a suggestion how we're going to, in English, establish the Mishnah. But it means to say, when you're ukim something, you're minimizing it or defining it to a certain case. It's kind of like an assumption. It literally comes from the word kum, to establish it, to make it stand up. But what it means to say is, right now we have a case in the Mishnah. Guy came back from the road, and he has not been notel lulav yet. He's notel al shulchano, meaning he has to be mafsik his meal even to do it. Sounds like it could be, maybe he can do lulav the rest of the day. I mean, maybe he came back in the morning. We have no idea what time of day it is. We're oikim, we establish, we limit the case in the Mishnah to where there's no more time left. It's the end of the day. So then you have to be mafsik your meal to do the mitzvah. Just because you started your meal doesn't mean you don't get the mitzvah lulav that day, you got to do the mitzvah lulav. Now, we never would have known that from the Mishnah. How do we know that? Only because of the contradiction between mincha and lulav. Because of the contradiction, we're forced to limit the case by lulav. You with me? This is a fascinating thing, just to take a step back for a minute. I mentioned once before to you, the Mishnayos have all these funny principles. Chasuri mechasra v'hachikatani. Oh, the Mishnah's missing a line. This is what needs to be there. And everybody throughout all of high school and even afterwards is bothered. Like, how come the rabbis get to just make things up to make things work? Like, what's going on here? So the answer is, that's part of Torah Shebaal Peh. Rav Huttner writes that when Torah Shebaal Peh, we were forced to write it down. We did that based on a principle, Eis la'asos la'Hashem hefer sarasecha. Well, listen, you got to do for God. You don't forget the Torah. You got to write things down even when you're not supposed to. It's for God. So to maintain Torah Shebaal Peh, we had to write certain things down. Asks Rav Huttner, When you started writing things down, does that mean anything goes? I mean, now the rule of Baal Peh goes out the window? Or it means you're allowed to write down only as much as necessary to remember it? You hear the question? We're going to write it down, because now we have to remember it. Does that mean that now it becomes written?
Everything, or just...
Yeah, listen, if you need to remember by writing it down, so now that it's a new ball game, you know? All those old rules of Torah being Baal Peh, having to stay Baal Peh, go out the window, because now we reached a point in history we have to write things down. Or no, the heter was only to write enough that you don't forget it. But any more than that, an iota more not. So Rav Huttner claims the answer is the latter. An iota more not. Whatever is necessary to be written down to remember it, you're allowed. More than that, you're not allowed. So the Mishnah didn't spell out the case it's talking about because it was assuming you're going to notice the contradiction between these two Mishnahs and you're going to ask your Rebbe. And your Rebbe will tell you the answer, which maintains what? Torah Shabbal Peh. But in any case, so that's the word's answer. Lulav must be. We're going to live. We're oikim. Amiya, what's okim? What's an okimta?
Suggestion.
Like a limitation on the case, right? A suggestion to establish, to define the case. We're oikim our Mishnah as a case was no more time in the day. And that's why what? You have to be mafsik your meal for lulav. Amar Rava, my kusha, what's your question? One's mincha and one's lulav. Dilma hadar raisa hadrabanan. Maybe the reason why you have to be mafsik for lulav is because this one is daraisa. V'ha, and this one is derabanan. Meaning, lulav's daraisa. So if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah and you're in the middle of your meal, you got to stop to fulfill the mitzvah. Daraisa. But mincha is only
derabanan.
Is that true? Mincha is derabanan?
Well,
so, sidebar. Korban mincha for sure is a separate issue. What about davening? So you know the Rambam famously writes that davening once a day is deraisa. And the Ramban famously disagrees with him and says you only have to daven when you need something. If you don't need something once a day, probably there's something wrong with you. Okay, but he does say it's only when you need something. You got to turn to Hashem and ask for it. So the Rambam holds there's a mitzvah deraisa once a day. So how could it be that tefillah, that davening is derabbanan? So then the answer has to be what you're saying. The Rambam would have to read this Gemara to be saying, because if you daven once a day, or davening specifically mincha, that's derabbanan. But in a chanami, once a day you have to daven. If you didn't daven the whole day, then it would be deraisa. You'd have to stop your meal to daven. But if you daven already, or whatever. Okay, anyway. So that is Rava's suggestion, is that the distinction is not whether or not there's more time in the day. That's a serious ukimta. That's a serious limitation on the halacha of the Mishnah. You only have to stop when it's the end of the day. Rava says, absolutely not. If it's deraisa, you got to stop even in the morning. Because you have to fulfill mitzvah deraisa. You can't push it off just because you want to eat. Interesting. But mincha being derabanan, okay, so, you know, you push it off, it's fine. Ela Amarava. Ikasha, if there was some kind of question that Rav Safra was trying to explain, or there being more time in the day, that's like some kind of distinction. Hakasha, this is the question. The Mishnah starts off by saying that when he gets home, he takes the lulav on his table. Alma the mafsik. So that means, Alma, you see from here, the mafsik, that he has to stop his meal to be no talulav, okay? V'hadar tani, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, and then it goes back to say, lo inatol shachar sitol bein arbayim, that if you didn't take lulav in the morning, you take lulav in the afternoon. Alma, the implication is, what you see from here, lo mafsik. You don't have to stop. Wait, how's he reading the Mishnah? He's reading the Mishnah that there's two cases. One case is that you come home, and you didn't know to lulav, then you got to do it, you have to even stop what you're doing. But then the Mishnah turns around very next and says, and if you didn't do it in the morning, because apparently you can push it off, you got to do it in the afternoon. But You just finished saying you can't push it off. You got to stop even in the middle of your meal. So how can the Mishnah go on to say, and if you didn't do it in the morning, as if that's okay, do it in the morning. What in the world? I'm Rav Safra. So that's when Rav Safra said, don't think that's a question on the Mishnah. Leikash, that's not a problem. How do you kashal espayom? How do you like kashal espayom? That depends on whether or not there's more time in the day. If there's more time in the day, then you're allowed to push it off. But if there's no more time in the day, okay, then you got to stop what you're doing to fulfill the mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Zeira, my kusha, what's the question? Dilma mitzvah lafsuke. Maybe the answer to this question is that there's a mitzvah to stop. In other words, yes, you have to stop even in the morning. But the ilopasik, if he didn't stop what he was doing, yito bein arbayim, then you should still do it later. Don't think like that's the end of your opportunity or something like that. It's not just limited to the morning. Shekol hayom kasher lalulav, because the whole day is kasher for lulav. So that's not a contradiction, which means to say that you're supposed to stop. That's the lechachila. B'diyevet, if you didn't, it's okay. No, no, you'll do it later. Elam Rabbi Zeira la'olam gedam rinu mikara. Really, the pshat here is like we said originally. That there's time in the day to do it. And that's a distinction by mincha versus lulav, and that's really the case in our Mishnah. It's like we said, that when there is time in the day, then you are allowed to push it off. If there's no time in the day, then you're not allowed to push it off. But the kashal chadarai said darabanan, and if you'll ask me, wait a minute, but the distinction really should be that mincha is darabanan, and lulav is daraisa. And that's a fact, that when you have a mitzvah daraisa, you can't just push it off. That's what he's assuming. A mitzvah d'oraisa you can't push off. Mitzvah rabbanan you can because you'll do it later. But a mitzvah d'oraisa you can't just say you'll do it later. You got to stop what you're doing. Which, by the way, would seem to mean that when a person comes home in between Pesach and Shavuos, he has two mitzvahs to do: Shema and Sfira. Is Sfira sa'omer b'zman hazeh d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? So it's a little complicated. But Mashma from the Mishnah Berurah and a bunch of places that it's d'rabbanan b'zman hazeh because we don't have the Korban Mincha anymore. So what are we counting from? What are we counting to? Shavuos, but so mashma d'rabbanan b'zman hazeh. Let's assume for a minute that it is. So would you have to stop your meal for Shema?
Yes.
What about Sfira? No, it's interesting, right? You have to make sure to stop your meal when it comes time for Shema. But Sfira, you maybe be allowed to push off later. Practically, are you going to forget to count Sfira if you do that? Probably. So don't do it. But that's what would seem to come out from the Gemara, is that if you still have time to fulfill the mitzvah, and it's a rabbanan, you'd be allowed to push it up. But the rice, you're not allowed. Wait a minute. So then why did by mincha is it presented that you are allowed to push it off, and by lulav is presented you're not allowed to push it off? If really it's all about if there's time in the day, that's not a valid distinction. You should really say, because one's deraisa, one's derabanan. I'm all confused now, says the Gemara. Gemara says, don't worry, we'll clarify the whole thing. When you ask the question, what do you mean? But really the distinction is ha-deraisa, ha-derabanan. That lulav is deraisa, that's why you have to stop. And mincha is derabanan, that's why you don't have to stop. We're only talking about a case on Yantav Sheini where lulav is derabanan. So what does that mean? On the first day of Yantav, you got to stop whatever you're doing to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. You can't wait. You're not allowed. You have to stop what you're doing and fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. But the second day, since it's derabanan, you have a right to push it off until later in the day. Dikanami, you can be medayik this also, you can extrapolate this also, midakatani, from the fact that the Mishnah says, Misha Baba Derech, Ve'ein Biyada Lulav. A guy comes from the road, and he doesn't have in his hand a lulav. The Isal Kadayit Rabiyantiv Rishon, Mishari. Because if we're talking Yantiv Rishon, who says that guy's allowed to go, he's allowed to go to work, he's allowed to disappear on the first day, Yantiv go to do something and then come back later? Where did he go? Where has he been all day? Misha Baba Derech? He's not working, obviously, first day Yantiv. So where did he go? Meeting Baba Derech. He decided to go do something else and then come back and take lulav later. Obviously not. Must be talking about the second day Yantiv, which is Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. So he went to go do other things, and then he pushed off with lulav until later. Next Mishnah. Mishnaya Evid. The person was an Evid. Okay, Nebuch, Shaleh Sani Evid, make a bracha every day. Shaleh Sani Evid, okay. Aisha! We also say Shaleh Sani Isha, lulav to present. A Katan! Or he's a Katan. We don't say Shaleh Sani Katan, you know? Machron Isai. The either an Eved or a woman or a Katan is Makrin Oisoi. What does that mean? Well, here it's not Berkas Hamazon. Here it's actually Halal. But they're reading it for him. Makre means they are saying the words for him. So they are saying the words for him. He's a gadol. But Misha Haya Eved, not that he's an Eved or an Isha or a Katan. It means that a guy who has one of these three, read Halal for him. Oine acharehen, he answers after them, Masha Hein Oimrim, what they say. In other words, normal English, he repeats after them word for word. What's the opposite of that? The opposite would be, they'll say the whole thing for him and he'll just listen. What do we call that? Shomea Keone. He'll listen, it's as if you said it. There's a principle, Shomea Keone. So apparently he's not allowed to do that, or he's not supposed to do that. He has to say word for word after them. And come upon him a curse. Apparently, he should know better. If people who were traditionally less educated, like an Eved or women traditionally, till the Beis Yaakov movement, they were not well educated. Or a Katan, who, whatever age he's at, he may not know very much. And if all three of these people know more than the Gadol, that's an embarrassment. I mean, come on. So even though he's allowed to do this, if he doesn't know it, he should repeat after them word for word, he should be cursed for not learning how to say halal. Im haya gadol makro isoy, but if another gadol was doing it for him, oina acharav halaluka, then he doesn't repeat it word for word. He just says halaluka at the end of every phrase, let's say. Rashi is a whole davar v'davar. We'll call it a phrase, which is pretty interesting, right? Hallelujah, Hashem, kol goyim, hallelujah, shabuchu kol umim, hallelujah. You can picture this happening? Okay. Rashi says, that's how they said Shir HaSayam. You know, they would repeat after Moshe Rabbeinu, after every phrase he would say, they would all. Makam Shinago, and apparently that's not worthy of a curse, because we don't know why he doesn't know the halal, but the fact that he's being yotze through a gadol apparently doesn't look as bad. When he's being yotze through somebody that shouldn't even know it, why don't you? Which is interesting, because at the end of the day, if he doesn't know, he doesn't know it. So why should he need to be cursed because he doesn't know it? Sounds like it's more than that, right? Said that it's a greater, much more derogatory for him when the person that's being motzi him shouldn't really know it. And they do. And he doesn't. In any case, Malkam Shnagel, Likvol, Yikvol, if you find yourself in a place where they repeat certain things on Hallel, then you should do the same thing. You showed. If you find yourself in a place where you come from, they always repeat this, but in this town, they don't. They say it once. So okay, you do it like them. Livarich, if you come from a place they don't say the bracha on Hallel, and you're in a place where they do say the bracha on Hallel, Yivarech, then you should say the bracha. Hakol kamina ga medina. It all goes by the place in which you find yourself in that medina. It's very interesting because, you know, Hallel had a lot of minhagim. So that's the way it is. It's subject to a lot of minhagim. Nowadays, it's pretty standardized. You have certain nuances of difference. Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfarad, Sfarad and Ashkenazim. There are still nuances of differences. Yeah. I don't know if there are any total scams, but yeah, you're supposed to say that so that you say all the words of Allah.
Yeah,
that's the minig. Kol kamina gamedina. Let's just do this last piece of Gemara, and I want to share with you something else that I thought was interesting. What?
When you're if you're saying halal, do you just run through?
Yeah, you just say it. There's no repetition. I mean, there's repetition of things that we repeat, but you don't. There's no like, you know. Yeah, you just say the four of them. There's no repetition.
I think because in the Haggadah, it has a little.
See, when you have the Haggadah, there are different minhagim what people do at their table. But those places where there's like a leader that says the Haggadah for everybody else, I don't know if anybody has that minhag, where the father sort of says it for everybody or something like that, people sort of repeat after him. Anyway, when it comes to Hallel, so many people do have that minhag where the father, or whoever's leading the Seder, will say, Hod Hashem, you know, he'll say these things and everyone will repeat after him. Like we would in Shul. Other places, I think people just read it like they're doing it, you know, on their own. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so what do we say? We said that let's say that a person doesn't know Halal, and his Katan is there and does know Halal because he sent him to Yeshiva. So the Gaon says it, but apparently the Gadol can't just say Halleluka after every phrase. He has to actually repeat word for word after him. Tana Rabbanu, we learn a Braisa. Be'emes Amru. Really, they said, Ben Mivarech La'aviv. A son can bench. We're talking because of Mazon here. A son can bench for his father. And the father is not repeating it word for word. So this is different than what we said by Halal. A ben can mevarech la'aviv, ve'eved mevarech la'raboy, and a slave can bench for his master, ve'isha mevarech es la'ba'ala, and a wife can bench for her husband. Aval amru, but they said, chachamim said, tava ma'eir la'adam sheishtavanim mevarechin lay, a curse should be upon a person whose wife and children, and assumingly the slave also, bench for him. So there's a similarity and a discrepancy here. The similarity is that he's cursed either way. The discrepancy here is that he doesn't have to repeat it word for word after that. They're actually benching for him. Right? So let's discuss this. You guys ready? I want to go outside of the Masechta for a minute just to develop an idea, tie it into Purim, and then we'll learn some stuff about Purim. How could it be that a katan is benching for his father? But a katan is not chayev in benching, because he's a katan. And a katan are not chayev in mitzvahs. And the father is chayev in mitzvahs. And if a katan is not chayev in a mitzvah, he cannot fulfill an obligation for a person that is. Make sense? Meaning there's a mitzvah chinuch or something else? You know, you got security clearance to go in a certain area, you know? So another person with security clearance theoretically could let you in, because you both have security clearance. You don't have your card on you, whatever, you know, but at the end of the day, you both got clearance. So he'll let you in with his card. Your son, who doesn't have security clearance, doesn't have a card. He can't let you in. He just can't. You've got to find somebody else with security clearance. Right? Same thing with mitzvahs. If you want to be yotze, you want to cause all of the amazing things that our mitzvahs cause in the olam ha'elyon, then you could do it if somebody else that can do that does it for you. But the katan's not chayv in mitzvahs. He can't change the world like a gadol can. That's one of the beautiful things becoming a bar mitzvah. It's not just that you have a bunch of obligations. It's that you were just given a key to the spiritual forces of the world. Welcome. Security clearance. Quite literally. So how can it be that a katan benches for his father? Hear the question? Yeah. What does Rashi say? You see the second from the second to last Rashi? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Ben Mivarech Lave. Zokt Rashi, Birkas Amazon, Mishigia Lechinuch. He can bench for his father once he reaches the age he is educable. He's old enough that he can say the words. You ready for this? Rashi says, to chayav midrabanan. Because the child is chayav midrabanan. Huge chiddush, right? We always thought that parents have to educate their children. Not that the children have any obligation. What do you mean, why would they be chayav? What did you question? Because they're not chayav in mitzvahs until they're bar mitzvah. But midrabanan, they have to become educated. They have to train themselves that when they become a bar mitzvah, they're ready to go. Because if you start learning how to do mitzvahs at your bar mitzvah, you're going to end up not doing mitzvahs and doing a lot of averus.
So, mitzvahs that we do derabanan aren't
actual mitzvahs? They're not deraisa, right? They're derabanan. There are lots of mitzvahs. I mean, not lots, but there are mitzvahs derabanan. One example would be netilas yadayim. Washing your hands before you eat bread is a mitzvah derabanan. Megillas Esther. Reading Megillas Esther and Purim is a mitzvah derabanan. Mishloach manos. Matanis lev yoinim. Mitzvah derabanan. So you do have some mitzvah derabanan. A katan has to bench, according to Rashi, derabanan. Why? Well, not because he has a chiyuv benching yet, but because he has to train himself, he has to learn, so when he becomes a bar mitzvah, he knows how to bench properly. Chinuch. Okay? Uvmeseches brachas mishan meisai, moikim la kagan shalei achal aviv ele kezayas a kibetza, vavishira derabbanan. In the Gemara in Brachas, where this exact same brisa is quoted, the Gemara makes an ukimta. What's an ukimta? A suggestion. It establishes, it defines, or maybe minimizes, limits the case. It limits the case to a specific scenario. What's the scenario? Where the father, ready for this? If the father is satisfied, he's full. Chiyuv deraisa derabbanan. Because the pasuk is v'chalta ve. So if he's full, he has a chiyuv deraisa. What if he's not full? He only has a kizayis or maybe a kibetza. I think we mean the same thing. But if he has a kizayis or a kibetza, even though he's not full, he's not satisfied, whatever you want to call it, he has a chiyuv derabbanan. The mitzvah derabbanan to bench when you have something of significance, either a kizayis or a kibetza, an olive or an egg size, whatever it is. Good? What if a person eats less than an olive? Of bread, there's no chiyuv to bench, even derabbanan, you should not bench. Yeah? Let's say the father is chayav deoraisa to bench because he's satisfied, he's full. And the katan obviously cannot have a chiyuv deoraisa, he doesn't have security clearance. So can the katan bench for his father? Says Rashi, no. Well, then what's the case in the Gemara? The Gemara in Bracha says, oikim the case. It defines and limits the case where a katan can bench for his father when the father ate a shi'ur derabbanan. He only had a kizayis or a kibetza, and therefore the father is only obligated to bench derabbanan. And the child who also ate at this meal can never have a chiyuv deraisa, so he only has a chiyuv midirabbanan. So comes along a derabbanan, someone who has a chiyuv derabbanan, and it's motzi, the father, who has a chiyuv derabbanan. Good? So the katan has security clearance on a derabbanan level, according to Rashi. Beautiful. Perfect. So I have a question for you now. Now that we know that a katan that's chayav derabbanan can be motzi, a father, or a gadol, that has a chiyuv derabbanan, I want to know if I... And okay, now, let's make one thing clear. Is it ideal? No, it's cursed on the father because he should know better. It's not a good thing. Or you might want to say it differently, by the way. You might want to say, but Rabbi, you told me that if a guy doesn't know how to bench and a gadol benches for him, that's fine. There's no curse there. But he still didn't learn. What's wrong with this guy? So maybe it's worse than that. Maybe when the katan does it, it's actually a lack of kavod for the mitzvah. Maybe that's what it is. Because since you're talking about a child, in other words, what I'm trying to say is, how do you encourage children to do mitzvahs? So, at my shul, for example, so people want the children to say in kalikeinu, anim zmiris, they want the children to be involved in the davening. Now, the tension with this is that, forget the noise that the kids make, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, when you put a shaliach tzibur up in front of your tzibur, they're your representatives between you and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Do you want to be represented by this little kid? So, you know, it's a lack of kavod. You don't send a shaliach to the king that's like, you know, a nobody. You pick the greatest person in your community and you say, this is who we want to represent us. So to put a child up as your representative, it's not the right thing to do. It could be that's the pshat, and you'll forgive me, in the woman, slave, and katan. No offense to women, but it could be that that is the pshat.
But they're quiet. When a kid knows how to daven, to some extent, like I mean, their parents and stuff like that. Like when I was younger, we used to daven like Kabbalah Shabbos sometimes. But we knew how to daven, but it was just like a form of chinuch to like learn to daven out loud in front of people.
Right.
Also, your daughter running in to say, "Can I go to our house?"
Yeah, that's really much.
Okay, but that.
Children have to be
steaming.
Children and their parents need to know the proper kavod for sure. Okay, but so here's what I wanted to say. So it's not ideal for a child to be a shaliach tzibur, nor, some of the Megillah, is it appropriate for a woman to be a shaliach tzibur, even if it is allowed and one can be yotzei. So he's not really a shaliach tzibur because it's not a davar shebi kedusha, and you don't need a gadol to do it. No one really needs to do it. So we allow it. Exactly. So I'm just saying, there's a tension there, you know. On the one hand, we want the children to be involved. On the other hand, you know, there's a certain... Yeah, all those things you can really say on your own. You don't have to say them, really. So we allow the kids to do it. But I'm just telling you, part of me doesn't like it. Because at the end of the day, you're putting this kid up as a shliach tzibur.
I feel like in a way, it's good, but they're just getting them some sort of experience.
Exactly. And that's why it happens in my shul, and I don't fight against it. But it does. There's an element, there's a nuance there that it's not really the most appropriate thing to do. But that's what we do, because we want the children to, you know, to learn to become shluchei tzibur and to be excited about it and to etc. Okay. Now that being said, I want to know halacha lemaise. Okay, maybe it's not lemaise. I want to know halacha, but not lemaise. If I can have a katan read Megillah for me. Can a katan read a Megillah for a gadol? Correct. Since the chiyuv Megillah is derabanan.
So then I feel like technically it could, but it wouldn't be like.
Is that so how you feel about
derabanan? Well, we said already, you know, it's still considered to be a curse, so we're not going to do it.
It's not ideal.
But I want to know if I'm yotze. Am I yotze? So the answer we would all say, right?
Would say yes, but
Shlomo's googling it right now.
Right.
The answer we would all say.
You're just giving us an answer. You said would say.
Is that obviously derabanan? Yeah. So the katan can be motzi the gadol. Problem is, there's a sticky Mishnah and Megillah. By the way, isn't it amazing that as soon as Purim arrives, our Gemara has like a direct connection with Purim? Isn't that not amazing? Terror is alive, Chaver. It's alive. The mission says a kol kasher in the crisis on Megillah. Everyone is kasher to lane the Megillah, and that means not only for themselves but for other people. Chutz micheresh shaita v'katan, and a katan's not allowed to read the Megillah.
What about you read in the Megillah that's derisa
or something? No, we don't know why. We have to try to figure this out. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says no, katan is valid. Katan can. How do we paskin on Shulchan Aruch? No. Shulchan Aruch paskins a katan cannot. How does it say it? Echad ha-kairi v'echad ha-shaymeya min ha-kairi. You don't have to read Megillah Esther yourself. You can listen to someone else lane it for you. Your yotzei. V'hu she-yishma mimisha hu-chayav b'kriyasa. But you can only be yotzei by listening if the person laning for you is chayav to read the Megillah. So yeah, obviously. Lefichach, therefore, imhaya kari cheresh shayta katan. If the one reading the Megillah is a katan, hashaymeya mimenu. If you hear Megillah from the katan, lo yotza, you're not yotze. Stira to our Gemara. Is it stira our Gemara? How so? Is that a contradiction to our Gemara or not? Our Gemara said that it's a curse, but a katan can bench for a gadol, as long as the gadol is only chayav, what? Midrabanan. But Megillah is only chiv derabanan. Everyone agrees to that. So it's only chiv derabanan. Why in the world can the katan not be motzi a gadol? Again, it doesn't say he'll be cursed, but he's yotze. It says the katan, the person who listens from a katan, is a yotze. You have a suggestion? It's a tough one. Father Tosfos, and the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, addresses this too, basically quotes the Tosfos.
I feel like there's something derisa about Megillah. I don't know.
That would be a possible answer.
Like minor.
That would be a possible answer. So Tosfos quotes all the things that we've been discussing. And he answers like this. V'yesh loymar, this is Tosfos on Yud Tesamid Beis in Megillah. Dibur Masov Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. V'yesh loymar, de lo'ela mayri b'katan she'igi al chinuch. We're for sure talking about a katan that is of the age of chinuch. Okay. And our Mishnah Megillah still says that he's pasul to be motzi a gadol and Megillah. Mishum de Megillah leka chiyuva afilu begadolim elamid rabbanan. Because the obligation of Megillah is drabbanan. V'katan, ready for this? V'katan ein mechuyav elamid rabbanan. Afilu b'shar mitzvos. And a katan is only chayiv d'rabbanan in all mitzvos. What? A gadol is chayiv in mitzvos d'oraisa. And in this case, is chayiv in megillah mid'rabbanan. A katan in any mitzvah is only chayiv d'rabbanan, and in megillah is chayiv d'rabbanan. So what? U'begadol leka elechad d'rabbanan b'megillah. You ready for this? Help me out. A gadol is considered only obligated on one level, one layer of the Rabbanan by Megillah. Because why does he have to listen to it? Well, because Torah says, you know, you got to listen to the rabbis. The rabbi said, you got to listen to Megillah. Okay. See, one chiyuv the Rabbanan of Megillah. Yeah. Because all other mitzvahs is chayuv d'oraisa. But a katan... A katan has a chiyuv d'rabbanan, but is that true? Does a katan really have a chiyuv d'rabbanan to hear the Megillah? When he becomes a gadol, he'll be chayuv d'rabbanan. But right now, he's chayuv d'rabbanan in education. But the gadol is chayuv d'r Megillah d'rabbanan.
But like there are two different d'rabbanan.
Right. So the way Tosis says it is he calls it Trey D'Rabbanan. You ready for this? Can you think it through with me?
Yeah.
Amiel, you got this, Shalom? Ready? Yeah, yeah, excited about this? The Gadol has to hear Megillah because the rabbis told him to. A Katan does not have to listen to Megillah because the rabbis told him to, because the rabbis didn't tell him to. The rabbis told him, because when you become 13, you're going to have to listen to Megillah D'Rabbanan. Now, you have to make sure that you're doing mitzvahs. Education. Chinuch. So you got to do mitzvahs d'rabbanan now, so that later you'll be able to do them properly. Even mitzvahs d'rabbanan. So a katan has a double d'rabbanan. He has a mitzvah to educate himself so that he'll be chayiv in the d'rabbanan when he's a gadol. The gadol is a chayiv d'rabbanan right now. Good? We're not done. So according to Tosfos, the reason why, according to the opinion that we passed him, like, a katan cannot be motzi a gadol and Megillah sester, is because he really only has a chiyuv of chinuch, not a chiyuv of Megillah. Trade your abundance. Good? Come on, guys. Right back at me.
So then how would he be able to...
Bench. Then how could the katan bench for the father? It's the same thing. Because the katan is going to have a chiyuv when he becomes a gadol. So now he's a chiyuv of education. He doesn't have a chiyuv of the bench.
No, it's the double that does it. It's the father is d'oraisa in benching.
But with that doesn't work. The father has to only be chayav d'rabbanan.
Okay, so now he's d'rabbanan.
Okay.
He needs that certain amount.
Is the katan equal?
Yes.
No, because he only has a chiyuv of chinuch. It's trade d'rabbanan.
But in this case, it's only a single d'rabbanan where he's d'rabbanan to learn to have chinuch, which is to, in this case, it would be the sefer katan hazon. Now, let's say it's with reading the Megillah.
Yeah.
He has the d'rabbanan from doing chinuch and the d'rabbanan from reading Megillah, which lowers his d'rabbanan down lower than his father's regular d'rabbanan of just reading
Megillah. And by benching.
It's the same, but it's only a single d'rabbanan.
No, that would mean the katan's chayv to bench mid-d'rabbanan. But he's not, right? He's chayv in chinuch, so that when he's a gadol, and he has an eidashir d'rabbanan, he'll be chayv to bench d'rabbanan. But right now he's a chinuch.
Yeah, but Rashi said that his chiyuv is d'rabbanan benching.
Yeah, but Rashi didn't explain how he explained Megillah then. Why is he not Yotzei Megillah? Right? I mean, that's a problem in Rashi. I don't know what Rashi would say. Maybe you're right. Rashi has a different approach to this. Rashi holds he's a Baruch Yehuva. So I don't know what's going on by Megillah. We've got to answer for Rashi and Megillah. There's a problem.
Yeah.
But Tosfos has a suggestion that puts us right back to where we started from. That's the problem with Tosfos. Tosfos' answer just starts the problem all over again. So very nice. He's Trei D'Rabbanan. Now we understand why he can't be Motzi Agadol in Megillah. But why could he be Motzi Agadol in benching? You with me, right?
Say one more time, Tosfos.
Tosfos says that the reason why a katan can't be motzi a gadol in Megillas Esther is because he's not chayav in hearing Megillas Esther. He's chayav in education, so that when he becomes a gadol, he'll be chayav d'rabbanan in Megillas Esther. But a gadol right now is chayiv derabanan to hear Megillas Esther. So you refer to that as a double derabanan. The katan is chayiv in a derabanan of chinuch, so that he'll be chayiv in a derabanan and he becomes a gadol. But the gadol is chayiv to hear Megillas Esther right now. That's a mitzvah derabanan. Katan doesn't have a mitzvah derabanan of Megillah. He has a mitzvah of chinuch to prepare himself for the mitzvah derabanan of Megillah. Trade derabanan. Well, if that's the way you look at it, then benching is the same thing. So why can a katan be motzi a gadol in benching?
I don't understand why that's an answer to the question. It's just because he has a chinuch
You see, let me go with my mashal again. Okay, my mashal is security clearance. So Rashi was trying to say that a katan has security clearance on a derabanan. So this is pointing out from the Gemara in Megillah, the Mishnah in Megillah, that's not true. Because a katan does not have security clearance on derabanans either. He just has a mitzvah of chinuch. He needs to learn about security clearance cards. He needs to learn how security clearance works. But he doesn't get a card. Well, then he can't be motzi a gadol because he doesn't actually have security clearance, even under abanans. Can't let him in.
Because he himself doesn't even have the chiyuv of Megillah.
Correct.
So I can motzi somebody else.
So the problem is, if that's true, then right back to the square, back to square one. Then why can a katan be motzi a gadol by benching? It's the same thing. He only has security, doesn't have security clearance on benching. He has chinuch in benching.
So that's not actually that it's true for the abanans as much as it, he doesn't have chiyuv in benching. How can I go to somebody else who has a chiyuv and a mitzvah that I don't even have that mitzvah?
Tosfos refers to trei derabanan. You know, like the phrase, I'm okay with that, but that's the concept.
So that's why does he... Well, why does it two derabanans? Is that what it is? Because two derabanans versus the fact that the katan doesn't even have a chiyuv to lean.
Right, I believe that's the right way to say it. I could be wrong, but I think that's the way to say it. So that's a problem now. So now, in Tosfos, we don't understand. We're back to square one. Why can a katan be motzi gadol in benching? So Tosfos answers... In Birkas Amazon Mairi, remember the father ate a shir derabanan, right? And what did the katan eat? Well, we figured it doesn't matter, right? Because it's the only chayv derabanan no matter how much he eats. What's the difference? Tosis is oikim. Tosis limits the case where katan mimotzi gadol to where the katan ate kidei sevia. The havi chiyuva deraisa. So he would be chay of deraisa if he were a gadol. Veleka elchad derabanan. So there's only one derabanan in that case. Can you explain this to me?
So when he's a gadol, it's a deraisa?
Yeah.
So when he's a child, it's only a derabanan.
Taisa says, if right now he's chay of derabanan to prepare for a derabanan, that's called two derabanans. If he's chayiv derabanan now to prepare for a deraisa, it's only one derabanan.
But he has a full meal.
So if the father only had a shir derabanan, and the katan is chayiv, would have been chayiv deraisa, but has a mitzvah chinuch derabanan for that, so then the katan only has one derabanan, and he can be motzi his father.
When he becomes a gadol, he is a deraisa?
He ate enough that had he been a gadol, he would be chayiv deraisa. His father did not. His father only had a shir derabanan, because I skip it.
That's not a good answer.
That's not my mashal, right? My mashal security clearance doesn't work with this, right? Tosfos is not saying tzichiyuv chinuch, because a chiyuv chinuch wouldn't make a difference. Tosfos is saying something else, right? One derabanan, two derabanans? So work on it, guys. Let me know.
When it comes to benching, if his father ate enough that he was chai and deraisa, everybody would hold the son is not able to achieve chai and chai his father, right?
If the
father ate enough.
Deraisa?
Therefore, deraisa.
Yeah, then the cotton is hopeless, right?
Right. So if the son was in the father's shoes, being the father's chai and derabanan, if the son was in the father's shoes and ate the same amount that the father did, he would only be chai and derabanan. Why are we saying the reason why he can't be chai his father is because if he had eaten, he would be chai and deraisa? No, he would be chai and derabanan, just like his father's chai and derabanan.
That's clear, but Tosfos wants to explain the difference between Megillah and benching. So Tosfos claims the difference is that by Megillah, the katan has two derabanans because he has a mitzvah derabanan to prepare for a derabanan.
Right.
But by benching, if he ate enough that he should have been chayav deraisa, if he ate kidei sevia, then he doesn't have a chayav deraisa. But he has a chiv derabanan to prepare for his deraisa. So he only has one derabanan. The father has a derabanan because he ate a kizayas or a kibitza, and the katan has one derabanan. So then he can be motzi the gadol. But trei derabanans, if the mitzvah we're doing is only derabanan, then Taisa says a katan cannot be motzi a gadol.
Oh, so that's what I mentioned. You could be on the
Megillah, you can't be. Right. Yeah.
The security clearance. Let's say it's like a money like version of security. Like if you pay a certain amount, you get it. So for like the full clearance, the father would have to pay $50, and for like a lower clearance, he only has to pay like $10. So now the father pays the $10, while the kid pays the $50, and for those $50, he can't get the full clearance, but they'll give him like the half clearance with his father.
Okay, I like it. Okay.
Now they're equal to each other. When the dad pays the $10, he's equal to the kid that paid the $50.
Right.
Why doesn't it?
Anyway, there's something that needs to be worked out a little bit better here, because at the end of the day, it's a chiyuv chinuch, but Tosos works with trei derabanans. And anyway, that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes to explain this away as well.
The son doesn't have a chiyuv in chinuch.
Yeah, the katan has a chiyuv chinuch, even if it's derabanan.
And he also has a chiyuv in. Meaning, by Megillah, what are the two derabanans?
Megillah itself is only derabanan; it can't be deraisa.
Right.
Because of that, Tosfos holds it's always going to be trei derabanans, and a katan will never be able to moitzi a gadol.
Right. Yes.
According to the way we pass it.
But
by benching, since the katan could be on a level where he ate enough that he's preparing his chinuch is for a deraisa, that's only one derabanan. When the chinuch is to fulfill a deraisa, it's one midrabanan. When the chinuch is to fulfill a derabanan, it's trei derabanan.
Why? See, if your chinuch to achieve a deraisa, meaning by mentioning he has two things, he has to teach about chinuch, right? And
the cotton we're saying now is chayiv derabanan. That's the mahal, not on the father.
By Megillah, by mentioning only one derabanan.
If he ate kedesvia.
But even if he ate more than that, it's
all
about chinuch, no?
If he ate less than that or more than that?
Is a child, is a katan chayav in benching when he's younger? It's only the chinuch part.
Only chinuch, right, only chinuch.
So that's why it's only one derabanan, by benching. But by Megillah, he's chayav to hear Megillah, ain't by derabanan. He's not chayav to hear Megillah derabanan. He's only chayav to chinuch over there. So what are the two derabanans?
He's chayav in chinuch to fulfill the derabanan properly when he becomes a gadol.
Same thing by benching.
Exactly. Unless the child ate kidei svia, in which case, in that particular scenario, he's preparing for a daraisa.
I'm saying
that's a fascinating thing.